Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Love Offering Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Adams, and today's guest is Taylor Turkington. Taylor is on the show talking about how a little hope goes a long way based on my devotional, A Little Goes a Long Way, 52 Days to a Significant Life. You know, I don't have to tell you that at times our chaotic world reveals hints of the utter brokenness in which we live. As people of faith and a powerful God, we want to lift our faces to heaven to cry out or bury our faces in our hands to whisper prayers. Either way, we utter things like, God, please help. And God, what are you doing? And God, those people are terrible. And we aren't alone in those words that we lift to heaven. That's why Taylor is joining us today to talk about her book, Trembling Faith. We chat about the timeless story of Habakkuk and look at the situation of our own hearts and world. Tune in to learn that the only way not to just survive, but find lasting hope is through the gritty, trembling, wrestling faith in the God who works in our chaotic world. Hi, Taylor, and welcome to the Love Offering Podcast. I'm so happy to have you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So we have been doing the season of the Love Offering Podcast, correlating with my devotional, A Little Goes a Long Way, 52 Days to a Significant Life. And so we've completed that 52 days. And so now we're going to start kind of thinking about some new topics that could have been added to that devotional. And so this today's conversation is all about how a little hope goes a long way. And you have written Trembling Faith, How a Distressed Prophet Helps Us Trust God in a Chaotic World. And I think that if many of us could use a descriptive term to describe our world today, it would be chaotic. And I think that that's such a fitting message and relevant message for today from the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. So would you describe your own faith as trembling at times?
Oh, definitely. Sometimes my faith is trembling. And what I appreciate about that word is that I think it can have different connotations at different times. And even we see that in the scriptures, that we see this word trembling used, but maybe a little different connotations. And sometimes my faith is trembling because I am heartbroken and sad and grieving. Other times because I'm afraid, perhaps, but still clinging to faith at the same time. Other times I think we tremble because we recognize how great God is, and there is a trembling in the midst of awe and almost part of worship and reverence. So I think that faith can tremble in a handful of situations, but we need to know what it looks like to walk when, even when we're in trembling faith.
So for those who aren't familiar with this often overlooked book that's kind of just tucked in the back of the Old Testament, can you give us a brief synopsis?
Yes, Habakkuk is a wonderful book, but yes, sometimes it has a little more of the gold on the edges because we don't spend as much time reading it. It is in the Minor Prophets, so it's in the end of our Old Testament. So if you want to start in Matthew and move backwards, you might find it. Or it is in this kind of smack in the middle of those Book of the 12, the Minor Prophets. But Habakkuk is living in a time that's really broken and chaotic. He has seen revival and faithfulness to the Lord previously in his life under King Josiah, but then King Josiah died, and now he's living under his son, King Jehoiakim, an evil king who is corrupt and manipulative through spiritual religious practices, and he was enslaving people and taxing them to the point that people were in poverty. It was a mess, and Habakkuk is crying out to the Lord and saying, God, what are you doing? How long until you act? And the book is not just a series of God's words to us, like some prophetic books, and nor is it like a story of the prophet, like the book of Jonah, but rather it is a recording of this prayer dialogue between the person of Habakkuk and the Lord. And in many ways, it models for us how we can walk in the midst of a chaotic world and interact with God. And it offers us a great amount of hope. Because we see, because we see Habakkuk be so honest with God. He brings all that he is to him, and all of that trembling, all of that fear, all of that grief, and he brings it to the Lord, and he hears the Lord respond. And then we see kind of even his heart change perhaps throughout the journey of the book, and his response at the end, which offers so much hope, even when things are really hard.
which is all about, you know, we're talking about a little hope goes a long way. And just to be clear, so if people aren't familiar with the prophets, a minor prophet doesn't mean that he was any less significant, right? It just means that the book is much shorter. Is that correct?
That's right. There's only three chapters. That's right. They're much shorter in contrast to the books like Jeremiah or Isaiah or Ezekiel, which is what we call the major prophets.
Yeah, I'm actually reading, I'm right in the middle of Jeremiah right now. And it's been so fascinating. So I'm actually now after this conversation, I'm looking forward to continue reading and getting to Habakkuk. And so what about Habakkuk resonated with you so much? What really drew you to this book?
Oh, you know, if I drew you like a timeline of my life, there'd be a handful of times when the timeline went down and things got really hard. And I would put a little dot there and I would label it when Taylor ended up in the book of Habakkuk. There'd be multiple of those dots along my life when I went and read it. And honestly, starting when I was in high school, and I can't tell you how I ended up in the book of Habakkuk in high school, but I did. And I definitely skipped chapter two when it got a little confusing, but I read the other parts because I found this guy speaking to God as if we could face the chaos and not stick our heads in the sand, not turn to stoicism or just exploding in anger, but rather coming to the Lord and speaking honestly, and the Lord offering, even in the midst of anger and hurt, a way to live with faith. And so over and over again through my life, in a hospital room one time when things were very hard in the ICU, another time when I was sitting on a beach living overseas and wondering, what on earth am I doing here, God? And then other times when I was writing my dissertation, I did my dissertation on the book of Habakkuk of like, how do we walk in faith when things are very, very hard?
Notice through your study that God works in patterns. How does remembering help us face the future?
Yeah, you know what you'll find in the midst of Habakkuk is that there are multiple places where Habakkuk actually references other parts of the Old Testament, previously things that God has done, previous ways that we see God's character. And so it's as if Habakkuk is remembering who God is in the midst of really gut-wrenching, hard things. Because when Habakkuk laments to God, that's what he does. He pours out his heart. He says, everything is broken. God, what are you doing? Because he says, God, you are good and just, but this is not. There's a discrepancy. That's what lament often is. God says that things are actually going to get worse before they get better. That's his response to Habakkuk, which is not what we want to hear, right? But I don't know about you, but I've been in that place where like God's answer to me wasn't, I'm going to make it all better. But the answer is no right now. I'm not going to fix it how you want me to. And so Habakkuk is in this place of hearing God that say, no, I'm going to actually discipline my people, which is what he said he would do for a long time. So it shouldn't be that surprising. But then Habakkuk uses words, quoting Moses, and even in chapter 1, verse 12 here, referencing the character of God, referencing back Moses' song in Deuteronomy 32. And then later in chapter 3, Habakkuk writes this song, even though he recognizes that things are going to get worse before they get better. And the song is helping us remember the power of God. And it's kind of in this fantasy type language. It's brilliant and bizarre kind of in this wording, but it's reminding the people that God is the one who saves. As all of these words reference the Exodus, talking about how God comes up out of Egypt, talking about how he brings plagues, talking about how he can shake the earth, how he can use thunder and lightning, talking about how the Lord is the one who saves. And so what Habakkuk is doing is he's reminding us that sometimes when we sit in heartbreak and grief and things are going to get worse before they get better, we remember who God is and what he's done in the past, because God is a God who works in patterns. He's the one who was holy and a rock before and God's people before, and he is again. He's the one who worked to save God's people out of Egypt and the Exodus, and he's the one that would save them again. That's what Habakkuk is pointing to. This is the God who saves. This is the pattern he does. And I don't know about you, but even as I train my children, we have to talk about the same things over and over again, right? Like I'm trying to I'm trying to commemorate these little patterns into their minds that they would remember, this is what's true. This is how it works. This is how God is. This is how your parents are. And these will always be the way that these things work. And so I think that when we are in these places where our hearts are broken and it's hard to think straight, right? We are in these fogs often when the world is chaotic, that we can remember that this is how the God has always worked. This is how the pattern of our God. And we see that he eventually is going to save in the scriptures, in the work of Christ, that he saves just like he did in the Exodus, and that he's going to finish that salvation one day. That's the pattern that we're looking for, that he's going to bring us all the way into the new creation because he's the God who saves his people.
Yeah. Same yesterday and today and forever. And so in this, our part of this process, you talk about the importance and the power of prayer in the midst of chaos and suffering. So elaborate a little bit more on that.
Yeah, I think sometimes when we are in the midst of that chaos or heartbreak or suffering, we don't know what to say to God, right? We just kind of stop talking. Or maybe even if we're really angry, we're like, I don't think I can say these things to God. And Habakkuk actually gives us an example of someone who says some really strong things. If you look at Habakkuk chapter 1, he says, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help and you do not listen, or cry to you violence and you don't save?" It sounds scandalous to us almost if we didn't know that this was in the Bible, but this is an example of a very heartfelt prayer. So I think what we see in Habakkuk and for our own lives is that we go to God with what we are feeling rather than just talk about him. And that is good for us in a day when people are getting sometimes so upset at God that they just walk away. But instead of coming to him with all that we feel, all that we see, all the brokenness around us, because he can take it. There's nothing in this book that makes us think that he doesn't want to hear from Habakkuk. The same is for David. David lamented and poured out his heart and practically accused God, "Why are you not doing anything yet?" So in the same way, God wants to hear from us, and that it shows that we have a trusted relationship with him. Just like my daughter comes to me and tells me very strong words sometimes, how she doesn't like what's going on. And while she should be respectful to me, but it's okay for her to tell me exactly how she's feeling because she knows that I loved her 5 minutes ago and I'm going to love her 5 minutes from now. And that's the kind of relationship we can have with God.
I'm so thankful for that truth. And you've also identified three ways to start living by faith today. So what are those three ways?
Yeah, when we think about living by faith, it can often feel like this ambiguous phrase. Like, what does that mean? And in the context of the Bible, here's this prophet nestled in this conversation with God, where he wants to know how to live in this chaos around him. And God speaks to him and contrasts the arrogant, self-dependent who live for themselves with his people who live by faith. We see this in Habakkuk 2, verse 4. And the word faith here in the Old Testament is, it means that it's not just an internal assent of a fact, but it's a way of life, a faithfulness even. That we see that God says so clearly, this is the way you're going to make it through. It's going to be a live by faith. It's going to be that this is the escape route. This is the way all the way through. And it's always been a relationship with God by faith. So living by faith means knowing that whose you are and living that way. So we see that here, that we belong to God. And if you're in relationship with him through Jesus, then there's a faithfulness and loyalty to him that's lived out in faith, even when the world is chaotic. We know where to put our feet because we know what loyalty to him looks like. The second thing is that we remember that God works. He's working now, even when we don't always see it. And he will ultimately work to make all things right. In the days of Habakkuk, he was wondering and calling out, God, when are you going to do anything? But God was working. We just don't always know what it is. And the third thing is, living by faith means a choice of hope. It means that even if things are going to get worse before they get better, we know that God is better than all of the things that we may lose in this life. That is some of the strongest verses, I think, in the Bible, at the very end of Habakkuk, where he talks about how God's character and the relationship with God sustains no matter what. It says in chapter 3, verse 17, though the fig tree does not bud, though there's no fruit on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though the flocks disappear from the pen and there are no herds in the stalls, yet I will celebrate in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord, my Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like those of a deer and enables me to walk on mountain heights. It's as if he recognizes that he may lose a lot of all the things around, a lot of the things that bring him comfort or security, but he won't lose God. And the hope of relationship with him is better than the things that we may still grieve and lose, because grief and hope and joy can actually intermingle, he's saying. They can go together, and that's what faith can look like in the midst of chaos.
I'd love for you to talk a little bit more about that. How do we cling to Christ through our exhaustion or grief and pain that we may be experiencing now?
Yeah, you know, I think that this is really challenging when we hit the rubber meets the road. Like, we can read about it in the scriptures, but in real days, I deal with some chronic pain things and days when it's hard to think, hard to get through the day, and thinking through, like, how do I cling to Christ in those days? And so often for me, it's practical things of remembering who God is and choosing to believe in faith. It's choosing to bring all of my grief to him and to be remembering that he is working, like we talked about, in faith. And that might mean that I'm giving these small breath prayers like, Lord, have mercy on me. And it's not this long, eloquent prayer, or it's a written out journal, because things are so hard and my brain is foggy. But it means that we have these small things of prayer that are coming out, that are expressing trust, that changes the day. It means that we know that God is the God who's over all of this, just as he was at creation, that he is still just, that he is still good, even when things don't feel that way. Because we know that he is the one that is eventually going to bring us to this place where things are right and good. And he's the one who gives me strength. Like this verse 19 says of chapter 3, that he is my strength and enables me to stand like the deer on these mountain crags. These mountain crags were dangerous places. They were uneven. And Habakkuk here is referencing something that David said in the Psalms. But it's as if David would go up there and be able to see the enemy from afar, be above them so they couldn't attack him. But at the same time, God would make him safe. He wouldn't fall down. So the same way, it's as if God can make the dangerous places, places we can still stand. Even when it feels challenging and we're unstable and we're trembling even, God can still make us stand and give us strength in the moment by moment things.
You mentioned justice a moment ago, and you know, scripture reveals that God has a heart for just action and has power to sustain us in the midst of waiting. So would you talk to us more about how that relates to our heart and what we can be doing today?
Yeah, you know, I think that there is a woe song in the middle of chapter 2. And I told you that when I was younger in high school, I skipped parts. And one of the parts I skipped was this middle part of chapter 2, because it's this woe song where we often skip those in the prophets, because it's this woe upon these people who are doing the wrong thing. And we might skim them and be like, okay, don't do evil. Moving on. Let's find some hope. Right? But there's actually some really good stuff for us to see here. And I would argue that there's little bits of hope, even in a woe song. So in chapter 2, verses 6 through 20, there's this repetition, these five woes coming along on the people who are misusing their power. It's the people who are selfish and greedy. It's the people who would deceive, those who would manipulate others for their own gain, those who are violent. And all of these, the consequence isn't from the people, but rather it's from the Lord. The Lord is going to reverse the tables, that one day that there is going to be a reckoning, that they will stand before the Lord. And we have to remember in Habakkuk's day that this account that God was going to call on them wasn't going to happen in Habakkuk's lifetime. So we are talking about later for the Babylonians, but also for us, when people mistreat us, we look around, there are unjust systems around us. We see things that are broken, and this is not the way it's supposed to be. Even if it's just an individual person mistreating somebody else, or even in larger systems that are broken around us. And we can say, God, what are you doing? This is unjust. And we can know that God is the one that raises his hand and said, one day I will hold people accountable. All people will stand before me. And even as Habakkuk wrote this here, it was for the people to be comforted, to know that God was going to one day hold people accountable that mistreated them. But it was also for the wealthy that were in Judah, listening to Habakkuk, who were acting just like the Babylonians. They were mistreating their neighbors. They were taking advantage of them. They were worshiping false gods and using that to justify their own injustice. Like, oh, my God says this is fine. Or for out of the pursuit of this, it's okay that I would mistreat people. And recognizing that in all these things, that sometimes we need to know how we use our power. How do we use our financial power? Because whether we really like it or not, how we spend our money really impacts other people. that we can spend our money on things that we can get really cheap deals, but it's because we live in a global economy. And it might mean that people on the other side of the world weren't paid a normal daily wage to feed their families so that we have cheap goods. Other times we can use our finances and it might mean that we pay day laborers to do yard work or to do whatever, but they're not even paid enough to get dental care. And thinking about in the time of the prophets, generosity was required under the law. It wasn't like, oh, I feel like being generous today, but it was always a necessity that we care about other people. And so how we use our money. Another thing is how we even use our words. We can manipulate and shame people with much more power than we'd like to admit. It happens so quickly. And so thinking out how do we use our words to care for people and not shame them, to put someone else down so we go up. That's the image in all of these woes. It's like a teeter-totter. Someone else goes down, so we go up. We have a more comfortable lifestyle. We have more of what we want so that other people go down, even for our own entertainment. And I think even how we use our cultural power, our positional power, some of us may be employers or we may have coworkers that we have a choice of whether or not we speak well of or not, and those words matter, or whether or not we pay people well or not, whether or not we treat customers well and are fair. I mean, other things have to do with looking around and seeing people in our society who are treated worse than us. I am treated well in most of my cases, and recognizing that, and that other people in our society naturally aren't. My neighbors whose English isn't very good, and the way that people treat them as soon as she speaks, just because of the way that she does. How do we think about how we treat people of other ethnicities? Do we treat people differently because of the way they look? Or do other people do that and we don't stand up for them? We need to think really clearly about being just people. The end of the woe song ends about worship and idolatry. And sometimes it feels a little off to us, but I think what it's saying is that God is going to hold people accountable, but also that if we worship a just God, man, then we use our power rightly because we stand looking at this holy and just and powerful God, and we want to walk like him.
You know, I just was thinking when Jesus came, he stooped low, you know, I mean, that's the epitome of what he did, and humbled himself as a servant and brought people out of their shame to bring justice and righteousness to them, and how beautiful. But that we need to be mindful that he is the hope. He as the Savior, of course, as we're talking, Habakkuk is in the Old Testament. And so the Savior coming, they were hoping for the first coming, and now we're hoping for his second coming. And I think that's, to me, our ultimate hope that we can really rest in, even when our faith may be trembling. And so I'm just thinking about the woman today listening that might be just feeling especially hopeless. How would you encourage her today?
Yeah, I think we can feel hopeless because it's something as simple as paying attention to the news, right? There is so much brokenness that's happening in the world today. And sometimes it is because we see injustice happening to someone we love, or maybe it's even our own life is touched with pain, whether that be sickness or family brokenness, or financial struggles that just seem unfair and unrelenting, that there's a lot that can make us just feel like we don't know what's going to happen next and we're desperate. And in the midst of those things, Habakkuk speaks with truth to us that we're not crazy. This really is a broken world. And that even in these sufferings and viewing or experiencing injustice, God was on a mission then, and he is today, that Jesus was coming and that he came and he walked through suffering and he experienced the greatest injustice so that he could do something that would bring us back to God. Because deep down, what we need most has been what God has offered us, that a relationship with him, a good God who will not treat us unjustly, who loves us and who cares about us and never abandons us. And that as we look to Christ, that we can say, we don't know what God is doing right now, but we know that God is right now proclaiming the goodness of Jesus to this world, and that one day things will be made right. And that can feel abstract and distant in the midst of real pain, but Jesus sees exactly what's happening to you. And when he walked in a just manner and walked through suffering, that all of that was done so that we could see him and know what God is truly like on earth. And that there are days when you may not feel like it's easy to believe, where you're like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to keep believing. I don't know how to tremble even in faith or to have hope. And I would say that this prayer in chapter 3 of Habakkuk is actually a song. It's a corporate song, because sometimes we don't need another sermon. We need someone to give us a song to sing. And that's what Habakkuk does. And so there's definitely times in my life when I am struggling to believe. It feels like this stuff is out of my ability to care or to even like apply, but to know, okay, wait, here's a song that other people of faith can sing for me and with me and over me. And it declares the character of God. And it says in verse 16 of this verse, I heard and I trembled within. My lips quivered at the sound. Rottenness entered my bones. I trembled where I stood. So that even what Habakkuk says is that even if you're trembling today, sister, that can still be faith. And there's a song that you can sing with Habakkuk here that says, though all these things are gone, I will celebrate in the Lord because he's going to make me strong.
That's beautiful. I would love to, as we're starting to come to a close, Taylor, I'd love to hear, how has a little hope gone a long way in your own life?
Oh yeah, friend. I think that there have been times, even recently, when life feels chaotic and overwhelming, when I have been sick, when family schedules feel hard, when parenting feels hard, lack of sleep feels hard. And we just wonder, okay, what does it look like for me to live out this next day? And I think hope in the goodness of God and the way that he is working in me, even when things feel massively out of control, it means that I can keep going each day. It means that there is this hope of knowing there's something bigger than the circumstances right in front of my face, than the cough or the parenting challenges or the financial challenges that I think hit a lot of us right now. But rather, there's hope because God is doing something much bigger, and I care more about that, and that he is the one that's present with me and working in me.
Yes. Well, I know I would like to stay connected with you. I'm sure listeners are going to want to stay connected with you. So tell us how we can best do that.
Yeah, you can find me at BibleEquipping.org. That is the ministry I lead that encourages women and instructs them in how to study and teach the Bible. We have events and we have cohorts for Bible teachers there. You can also find me on social media at Tay Turkington. And you can find out more information about my book, Trembling Faith, at TremblingFaith.com.
Well, Taylor, thank you. You have helped increase my faith when it feels trembling in this chaotic world. And I just appreciate you helping to help us realize that a little hope goes a long way. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode with Taylor Turkington. We hope that today encouraged you to believe that a little hope goes a long way. This week, your little task is to remember that hope is not about ignoring difficulties or challenges, but about facing them with optimism and the belief that a better future is possible. As the verse in Hebrews suggests, faith and hope are closely connected. Strengthen your faith through prayer, meditation, and reading scripture. A strong faith foundation can support your hope. If you are interested in show notes, you can head on over to @RachelAdamsAuthor on Instagram or Facebook. I'd love to connect with you there. I'd also love to connect with you over on RachelKAdams.com. There you can subscribe to receive your weekly love offering newsletter, and all of this information can go straight to your inbox each week. You can also listen to previous podcast episodes, you can read the blog series, you can purchase significant merchandise, and you can download free resources like the new Who You Say I Am devotional. That is a free resource that 31 writers that I collaborated with came together to encourage you in your God-given identity. Again, you can download all of that at RachelKAdams.com. Next week, my guest is Caitlin Garrison. She is on the show talking about how a little less goes a long way and talks about how we can get rid of our striving. I can't wait to chat with you again then, but until then, I hope you have a terrific week. And as always, remember to lead with love. Thank you.